When my babies were going through their exploration stage, I had so much to worry about. Falling over, bumping heads. What did she just put in her mouth? The list was endless. But when they were in Pampers Swaddlers, I knew I never had to worry about a leaky diaper. Swaddlers are great for both baby and mommy. They keep your baby's skin healthy and dry with Pampers Breathe Free Liner, which wicks away wetness, allowing your baby's skin to breathe. Swaddlers have always given me peace of mind, knowing that diaper rash and leaky diapers were not in our future. There's also the new blowout barrier at the back waist to help prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex. Your baby deserves that. And they're available in a wide range of sizes from newborn to size 8, and now feature designs with the newest animal characters, Shiloh the elephant and Freddy the duck. Having a diaper you can depend on is important, and it's why I have always loved Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today to start earning rewards with every diaper and wipes purchase. Not to mention, get great parenting content with Pampers Club.
Congelado, paralizado, sin moverse, hipnotizado, con los ojos vendados, los oídos tapados, sin saber.
That was Sin Masticar from Iles Almadora. For the Puerto Rican singer and songwriter, music has long been a family affair. As a teen, her brothers recruited her to become a member of Calle 13. Together, they've won 3 Grammys and 21 Latin Grammys. Ile has spent the past few years reintroducing herself as a solo artist, and along with Residente, her brother, and Bad Bunny, co-wrote and performed Afilando los Cuchillos, the song that became the anthem to Puerto Rico's protests. Listening to Almadora, it is clear that Ile, like the island she loves, is recognizing the depths of her own strength. Welcome to New York City.
Thank you.
Good to see you in your hotel room. Thank you for making this work. I appreciate you. You released Almadora prior to the protests ousting the governor. Your lyrics I saw in countless protest signs. My friend Anna lives on the island, and she calls Almadora a premonition.
Oh, I've heard that a little, but it's super crazy for me because maybe the only thing I can think of is like when you wish something so bad that suddenly it becomes a reality. I think that might be what happened because I've always had this frustration, not only about our colonial status and how we see things, but the thing that frustrates me the most is when I start seeing the people thinking that they're not enough, that they are not capable of doing anything, that we need dependency. And for me, that's not part of our essence. And I can see so much more from the Puerto Rican people that what we see in ourselves. And for me, that was my biggest frustration and what made me write these songs.
Did you always see the island's relationship to the U.S. that way, or did you have an aha moment?
I've always seen it because thanks to my family, like, we all share, as a majority, the same ideals. And I remember having that teenage moment of questioning myself if I actually believed in independence or if it was just because my family believes in it. And I remember having that moment and realizing that, yes, I do believe in independence, and I little by little, I've been appreciating more who we are and what we have. And even though Puerto Rico has been a colony for so long, our identity still remains. And that is something that we should recognize and wonder, why does our identity still remains? And that's maybe has to do with the moment we are living now.
Sharpening the Knives became the anthem of the protest. How did it come together?
Well, I suddenly received a call from my brother that they were just doing this song. I mean, it was almost, like one day to another. And they told me to write the chorus. He just sent me the beats that were made by Truco. I had an idea about, like, what it was going to be about because we were all very angry about the whole situation. But I didn't hear what my brother wrote or Bad Bunny, like, and neither my brother. I mean, we were all like on our own writing what we were feeling. But since we were Puerto Ricans, I think we were sharing that same anger and we were fierce, you know, with everything that was going on. And we just expressed ourselves in different ways. And that's how it all came together. And they just told me about the knives concept. So I just like wrote what I felt and the melody and everything. But it was like a very from the heart.
What did it then feel like to listen to that song play in the streets in that moment?
It was amazing, especially because the people just knew the whole lyrics like the day after, so or the same day, I don't remember. But it was crazy, but empowering, you know? I mean, Puerto Rico must have a lot of political songs, but we don't know about them so much. And I think in that moment, we were just like seeking for something that we could chant.
Is there something that's getting in the way of your happiness or that's preventing you from achieving your goals? I have found that talking with someone can make a big difference, but sometimes the logistics, like finding the right person and the time to connect, make things complicated. BetterHelp Online Counseling connects you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. You can get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. BetterHelp's licensed professional counselors specialize in everything from depression to relationships to complicated family dynamics, self-esteem, grief, you get it. And if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time. They even have financial aid for those who qualify. Best of all, it's an affordable option. Latina to Latina listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code Latina. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/Latina. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. That's betterhelp.com/Latina.
¿Por qué me temes? Si soy fruto de algo que no tiene nombre.
So let's talk about some of the songs on the most recent album, Temes. Beautiful traditional ballad, and then you sort of zone in on the lyrics and that refrain, why are you afraid of me? It haunts me. What inspired you to write this song?
Well, I knew, I mean, when I was feeling the energy of this album, I was very angry and I needed, like, I literally exploded with these songs. So I knew that I wanted to speak about us as women in this world, our constant battle and everything, but I wanted to do it very direct and very clear and not too poetic, you know, and too hard to understand for the people that don't understand this yet, don't understand that this is a problem that we need to work out. So I was thinking a lot. I was looking for a lot of information. I saw a lot of news and images that I didn't want to watch, but they helped me to get into different situations that I've never been in, never, luckily. But
meaning domestic violence.
Domestic violence and verbal violence. Whatever violence it can be, like from, it can be very subtle or it can be very big and physical. But now you can find everything on the internet and obviously as the rest of the world in Puerto Rico, it also happens, like the homicidal feminicidios, as we call it. And there was, like, recently when I was writing this song, there was one that happened in Puerto Rico. And I used a phrase in the song thinking about that moment that she was stabbed in the back and on the neck. It made me wonder, like, whoa, like, he was so coward that he killed her from the back. Like, he couldn't even see her face. It was powerful, you know, to think why. I mean, like, why he couldn't see her, you know? Even though there's many that do have that morbid, that do see her, but at the same time, like, it came from that situation, that fear, you know, that must go through men that do these type of things. I mean, why is that? Why? I mean, it's it comes from that questioning. I mean, why does he might feel the necessity of killing this woman? I mean, why does he need to feel powerful? Why does he need to shut her up from? I mean, what is he afraid of? And that's how the song started growing and growing. And for me, the bolero part fit perfectly because I love bolero so much because they make you feel closer to the song and they speak to you. But most of boleros, all of boleros almost, are romantic. And I enjoy especially these boleros that are more dark tones and more mysterious. So I explored with it and I'm glad that it fit perfectly, this mysterious-ish dark tone boleros, but speaking about a reality that is very raw and very real and something that we need to understand very straightforward.
Soy pensamiento indebido, grito de voz silenciada. Soy el dolor que no siente.
In Contra Todo, you become Puerto Rico. And was that your intent?
Well, it comes from that. I mean, it's rooted from the Puerto Rican situation. But at the same time, I've noticed that it's something that happens a lot in other countries. Even though, for example, Latin America is are not in a literal colony, but at the same time, they are indirectly. And they're very dominated as well by the United States, most of them. I feel like it's become pretty universal. But yeah, obviously, I was feeling connected to the Puerto Rican situation. And I see that song as something that is buried under the ground that starts, like, getting out of it and, you know, recomposing and going.
You've been singing since you could talk.
I mean, they say that dramatically. Uh-huh. I don't know.
So is that like family lore or is that the truth? Do you remember that?
I remember there's like a cassette that we cannot find, but that I was like a baby and with Pampers and I was singing, you know, songs, Juan Luis Guerra, Whitney Houston, but, you know, in my own language.
And yet growing up, you weren't particularly interested in being center stage. Like, I think sometimes we think of artists and it's like, I'm going to put on a show all the time. That wasn't you.
We're a big family and I was the little one. So we all did, like, naturally. It was not like organized or anything, but we naturally did like talent shows in our families.
It's my favorite pastime as a child.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, being the center of attention, maybe because I'm the little one and I was so used to that, I wasn't seeking for that anymore because, like, I got tired of it. In a way, I had in me that, I mean, I enjoyed music a lot and I enjoyed singing and I used to play the piano And I knew, like, since I was very little, that music was a big part of me.
Shopify is your no-excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas, and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify is the e-commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big it is you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is truly a global force powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. business possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/latina. Go to shopify.com/latina to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/latina.
What's up, everybody? I'm Steve Ott Lewis, a licensed psychotherapist and host of How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything. I'm excited to share big news. How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything is back. This time, I'll be joined by a very special person, someone whose name you know very well.
Hi, everybody. I'm Juleka Lantigua, founder of LWC Studios.
Welcome, Juleka.
I'm so excited. And by the way, I'll be taking notes. So many notes.
As always, on the show, we get to hear stories from Black and Brown folks who are out there doing great and amazing things. Then I do my thing of offering some feedback and strategies to help us navigate personal and professional challenges. Together, we'll figure out how to achieve on our own terms.
Subscribe to or follow How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. On Twitter and Instagram, you can follow the show at Talk to Achievers.
When my babies went through their exploration stage, I had so much to worry about. Falling over, bumping heads. What did she just put in her mouth? The list was endless. But when they were in Pampers Swaddlers, I knew I never had to worry about a leaky diaper. Swaddlers are great for both baby and mommy. You keep your baby's skin healthy and dry with Pampers Breathe Free Liner, which wicks away wetness, allowing your skin to breathe. Swaddlers have always given me peace of mind, knowing that diaper rash and leaky diapers are not in our future. There's also the new blowout barrier at the back waist to help prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex. Your baby deserves that. And they're available in a wide range of sizes from newborn to size 8, and now feature designs with the newest animal characters, Shiloh the elephant and Freddy the duck. Having a diaper you can depend on is important and is why I have always loved Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today to start earning rewards with every diapers and wipes purchase. Not to mention, you can get great parenting content with Pampers Club.
Have you tried H2 Rose? We saw it all over Instagram with backers like The Real's Adrian Ballon, so we got curious and tried it. And now we love it. H2 Rose is rose water infused with saffron and real fruit juice. Rose water is a favorite of skincare enthusiasts who credit it with improved complexion, and saffron has traditionally been associated with improved sleep and better moods. H2 Rose comes in 4 delicious flavors, peach, apple, mango, and wild berry, a team favorite. If you want to give it a try, you can find it in stores, order a pack online, or sign up for a subscription at drinkh2rose.com. Use the promo code LATINA and get $5 off your first order. That's drinkh2rose.com.
Tell me about how they approached you with the idea of you becoming a part of Calle 13.
They didn't approach. They just ordered me as big brothers. I mean, my brother René picked me up at school one day, and it was weird that René picked me up in school. Like, that didn't happen. So he picked me up, and he started putting me, like, a song that was, by that time, La Huacatona. And he started, I mean, I used to imitate voices. And he told me, try to sing this lyrics as, like, someone, you know? And I started, like, imitating. And then he told me another name, and I started imitating. And then he said, oh, try to do it like yourself. And I said, like, myself? I don't know how to do it like myself. Like, what you talking about? I didn't know what he was doing. But we were suddenly going to my other brother's house. And then they asked me to sing that chorus. And I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I knew my other brother. He had a band that they ended up. And I knew that my brothers like to mess around and do things. But we were literally messing around. I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't took anything seriously or anything. We were just messing around and having fun. And I did the chorus and like that. And then suddenly that chorus was for a demo. And then suddenly, like, the White Lion listened to it, record label from Puerto Rico. And then suddenly everything escalated super quickly. And everything started up, and it was like we didn't know exactly what was going on and what we were doing. We were just literally going with the flow, but I was at school, and then I was traveling, and then I don't know.
I love that before we started, I said to you, I wanted to make sure I had the count of the Grammys and the Latin Grammys right, and you're like, I don't know. Like, you stopped keeping track, and yet it is quite an accomplishment. What did you as a family sacrifice to have that level of achievement?
Well, it's weird, you know. People get into you, you know, being in public and you know, obviously being open about believing in independence. People in Puerto Rico started to, at the beginning, you know, people rejected a lot the group, obviously being urban at that time. I mean, still, but at that time, reggaeton was very powerful, and suddenly, like, who's this guy talking about other things? What are they talking about? And I think everything started when René wrote the song about Filiberto Ojeda Rios that got killed by the FBI in his house when he was very old. So I think that's when everything, like, started to blow up in a good way for me, but at the same time, like, a lot of rejection from Puerto Rico and a lot of confusion.
But what did that mean, that you would go places and people would say things? What did it actually look like to experience that rejection?
Well, I mean, I didn't experience it directly, even though you read things in social media, a lot of threats. I'm sure that my brother received many threats. And, you know, he kept going, and they kept going. And, I mean, that was scary, you know, because Puerto Rico is very small, and people can find you very easily. So, and everything can get very dark. But at the same time, I mean, we were just making music, and we were just thinking that everything was going to be okay in a way, you know, and we were together. I mean, we're a big family, and we were always together, and we support each other a lot, and that has a lot to do with it.
How did the idea of pursuing solo acts evolve?
I mean, my brothers, like I said, older brothers, they, since day one, they always say, no, this is my little sister. She's going to make an album. Say, what? What are you talking about? I'm 16.
I'm PG-13.
Yeah. I mean, I was having fun, you know. It was very normal for me. I'm the little one, you know, like almost like a puppet, but in a good way, you know. I was enjoying it. But at the same time, was like, stop saying that in public, you know.
Because it felt like pressure?
Yeah, pressure. But at the same time, it was like, I don't know.
Why? What else did you think that you might do if you weren't going to become an artist?
I thought I was going to be a pianist. But I don't know in what way, you know, maybe I wasn't going to do a piano album. Maybe I was just going to play over there. I don't know. I was studying, and I was just not thinking about who I was going to become at all.
You were 16.
Yeah, exactly. And they were saying that I was going to make an album. No, you have to listen to it. And everyone was like expecting. So now when I released finally my first album in 2016, they all asked me, what took you so long? And I said, it didn't take me so long that this was the time that I wanted it, like myself. But it was funny because I told him that stop saying that, and they stopped. But they say it so much that people just were expecting it since the beginning. And I was just having fun with Calle 13, with the band. And I mean, I took the chance to explore a lot about myself on stage. That's a very important process. Like, you have to absorb the energy of the audience and in yourself, how you're feeling, how are you becoming on stage, and what are you doing with your body, you know, how you're feeling inside and outside. It's, for me, it's very psychological, and it takes a lot. I feel grateful that I had that time, but I was enjoying that time, not thinking at all about the other things. So everything happened naturally. everything was very intense. It was 10 intense long years. And we felt that we needed to explore on our own other things. So that's what we did. I didn't even know if I was going to make it, but suddenly everything flowed and here I am now.
Your music is often called revolutionary. Do you consider yourself a revolutionary?
Maybe it cost me to say like the terminology or whatever, but yeah, maybe I am. If you see it in other ways, yeah. I think I am. The thing is that I don't do things thinking about that, you know, about how I'm going to be considered or whatever. I just do what I'm feeling and I'm just basically sharing everything. So I sometimes don't know if I'm putting a weight on people with what I want to say. But yeah, maybe I am.
Hile, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, as always, for joining us. Latina to Latina is executive produced and owned by Juleka Lentigua-Williams and me, Alicia Menendez. Cedric Wilson is our mixer. Emma Forbes is our assistant producer. We love hearing from you. We really do. Email us at hola@latinatolatina.com. And remember to subscribe or follow us on Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're listening. And please leave a review. It is one of the quickest ways to help us grow as a community. Finally, be sure to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. We're @LatinaToLatina.